So I had a somebody pull out our lawn signs last night or this morning.
I thought it was only the evil socialists that are doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, they pulled out the NDP sign and Christina's I love or support Alberta nurses sign. Oh,
so a quality person.
At least they didn't steal it.
True, I guess.
Be prepared to have your time wasted with Steven, the dirty civvy, who previously served in the military, and Justin, who wants to be prime minister. He's got the fancy socks. And Andrew, who owns a house, but somehow still lives with mommy. Even with all that potential, they'll end up geeking out about movies by the end. Experts? Not quite. Entertaining? Absolutely. Let's do this. The Real Canadian Podcast starts now.
Welcome to the Real Canadian Dogcast.
I'm Steven.
Joined by Andrew. No, Justin, he is meeting the Prime Minister at the moment.
Oh, I keep saying that. I don't believe it.
He is at least in the same room as the Prime Minister.
There you go. That's more accurate.
So we have truth. We actually know for once that Justin Draper is not Justin Trudeau.
But maybe he's there so the Prime Minister can be there.
I see. It's a double switch up.
I mean, they both have the same name.
So. Yep. And they both share equally corrupt versions of the world, don't they?
And they both wear fancy socks.
Yes.
So it's Sunday, the day before Election Day.
You call it Election Day. It feels like Armageddon.
I'm nervous.
I just want it to be over with.
I'm like Lloyd Christmas. So you're saying there's a chance.
I mean, in truth, it's always been the UCP's election to lose. So
no,
we'll find out if they can lose it.
The NDP were polling ahead for 2 years.
The polls don't matter until 2 weeks out from the election, though, Steve, as we're finding out. And it keeps waffling back and forth and back and forth. So I think we're just down to what we thought in the beginning, where it was 50-50 chance.
I've stopped listening to the polls. Why does your dog start barking as soon as we start recording? Didn't bark once in the last 20 minutes.
It's the bag. It's the bag.
So I got a little story. So a army buddy of mine, conservative, listener of the podcast, I think he listens to every episode. Usually gives me feedback. Anyway, he texted me yesterday, I think. Yeah, yesterday. And said that he's buying the bullet voting NDP. I think probably the first time he's ever not voted conservative. I'm sure he'll hear this and correct me if I'm wrong. Anyway, he said, made it clear though, it's like not an NDP supporter. But I'm voting against the UCP and Daniel Smith's craziness. So I put up a tweet about it last night, and I said, "Yeah, army buddy of mine, conservative, said he's voting NDP." Also prefaced it saying he's not a UCP or NDP supporter, just voting against Daniel Smith and UCP craziness.
I'm not gay. I'm just doing it this one time.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that tweet kind of blew up and got a lot of thumbs up.
A lot of thumbs down.
And yep, the Take Back Alberta people came into my mentions saying his fake story, calling him a dipper, calling him an idiot.
I'd like to tell everybody that the beauty about politics in Canada is that you don't have to register as anything. Believe it or not, you can flip-flop on election to election as your priorities change and, lately, as the parties change. It's fine. I don't care.
And that's sort of a kicking off point of what I want to talk about today. Instead of going over talking about election stuff, which everybody else has done ad nauseum, I thought we'd explore our own political values and how we came to them and how we have evolved. So my question to you, Andrew, is when did you start realizing what was going on in the news and in politics? And
well, I mean, there's varying levels of awareness.
Well, start no yeah So when did you realize, like, how things worked?
Well, I think that started, honestly, in elementary school.
Okay.
You know, there was some interest in politics, but, you know, it's funny, conservatives will prattle on about brainwashing, but I remember we were encouraged to have, you know, we'd get visits from the MLA and the MP, and of course, they were conservative, and they would give out conservative pins, and, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, this is cool, and it sort of initially tilts you off to blue. Of course, in this province. So I was even a member of the Junior Conservative Party. Reform, I was pretty involved in. I had no clue what the Reform Party actually meant. I just knew its talking points, which was, were a party for Western Canadians, which, you know, as an Albertan, you think is cool. And then, you know, you get older and you get a little more involved. We sort of had the, I don't want to call it the uprising, but we sort of had the shift in how important politics was with Justin Trudeau's election. I think he is what got me more involved into politics, just because it seemed like such a dynamic change. And while he hasn't delivered on the things that I would have personally had him deliver on, voting reform, he has been the most, he has affected the most change in Canadian culture. Now you can disagree or agree, but, you know, it hasn't been all bad. And I would argue it has been mostly good, but because his last name is Trudeau and we live in Alberta, nobody can see beyond that. They get upset about things that largely have to do with provincial politics, but because we think we're the states in Alberta, a lot of problems that are provincial matters, they blame on the federal government, thinking that they have an all supreme power, which they do, but they also don't.
I'll be right back.
What? Now you got to go to the bathroom? I think that's more than enough, Steve. Jesus. Yeah. Do you want any? Do you want any Slurpee with that alcohol, Steve?
My orange NDP Slurpee.
So, yeah, and then you started getting more serious into it, and my interest sort of goes in waves. Most of it is just in trying to, you know, debunk things that people hear, but sometimes that falls on deaf ears, but sometimes it doesn't, and that's sort of where I stand today.
Where, how have your priorities and how you vote, or what you look for in policy proposals shifted as you've gotten older?
I would argue it's shifted just with our provincial party here, as conservative politics has become more volatile. Now, when I see policy changes, I'm pretty cynical about, you know, oh, who is this affecting? You know, is this meant to actually help people, or is this really just affecting the rich? I would argue that's where most of my policies come into effect, is how does this actually affect a person versus, you know, nameless corporation or, you know, people that have way too much money to begin with.
So you've sort of added a little empathy. You have empathy, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I believe Canada's strength is based on its strong social net, and I feel like we've had a generation that hasn't had to fight for that, and they're taking it for granted and are willing to sell it off to the highest bidder. And that's unfortunate.
Being in Alberta, how much does oil and gas play into your...
Almost none now.
Really?
I mean, you see more and more education. The latest thing I saw was that it was... Oil and gas only represents about 13% of the economy now. And granted, it can be bigger, but, you know, a lot of people are scared of the future. And that fear manifests in different ways. But, you know, we also live in an exciting time where we can be better. And so I just think that diversification and investing in actually high-paying jobs is just the way to go. And we were on that track with even our PC government before an NDP government. And now we've sort of backpedaled, and we'll see on Monday if we're going to backpedal even further.
How would you describe yourself on the political spectrum? If you're going to, if it's a line, where would you put yourself?
A floppa. It changes depending on what we're talking about. If we're talking about, you know, government involvement in industry, not really interested, but I am interested when it comes to things that are essential where private industry has shown that it can't be trusted. You know, when it comes to social issues, I'd say I'm probably pretty liberal, but I'm also open for, you know, government becoming more efficient. And people on the right would argue that that's an oxymoron. And, you know, that's sort of where I fall mostly. But it also changes. There's an adage that I like to tell young people in my trade where I'll call them an idiot and they'll take offense to that. And then I'll tell them, look, Andrew today is probably pretty smart, but I think Andrew 5 years ago is a fucking moron. And back then I used to think I was pretty smart. So I think 5 years from now.
So 5 years ago when we were recording 5 years ago, so we can go back and be like, that Andrew's a moron.
Sure. You can call past me a moron all you want. The point is to reframe things into, you know, more positive outlooks, that it's, the idea is it's okay to fail. It's okay to be wrong. The important part is growth. It's not, you know, it's, you know, just don't be scared to be corrected.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Don't be scared to be corrected.
Yeah. Stand corrected. I think that's an important thing. Always willing to be, always willing to stand corrected.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first part is acknowledging your shortcomings yourself, right? It's like, what's the first part to solving a problem? Recognizing that there is a problem. So occasionally call yourself an idiot to just remind yourself that, you know, you probably are. Yeah. We're all idiots.
So for me, the first thing I can remember relating to politics was the sponsorship scandal. And I remember watching, I believe, Lloyd on CTV, Lloyd Robertson?
Mansbridge.
No, that's Peter Mansbridge.
Okay.
He's on CBC. He was on CBC. Peter okay. Mansbridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Lloyd. I think it's Lloyd Robertson.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Sure. Yeah. And first, one of the first political things I remember was there was a report coming out, or came out, that, you know, said who was right and who was wrong, or who's guilty, who's not guilty. And they put, they had, like, the people involved, like, Gretchen, Paul Martin, whoever, can't remember, all I remember is those guys. And they put, like, white cowboy, they, like, imposed white cowboy hats onto the innocent people and black cowboy hats onto the people who were guilty or whatever. I don't even really know what the sponsorship scandal is about. And I also remember the BC Liberal Party winning a provincial election with like 90% of the vote. Like, because I think the NDP party is like pretty incompetent that we're in.
Wait, we're lost, going back onto bad habits here, lost, Steve. It's not NDP party.
Oh, did I say NDP party?
Yeah, bad.
The NDP party. Where's Justin?
Well, now you made it worse. You made it the NDP party. It would be the ND party.
So it's the end. So I said, basically what I said is the ND party.
You can just say the New Democrats. It's fine.
And so then I also remember Stephen Harper and the Conservative CPC coming up. And because Stephen Harper had the same name as me, I was like, oh, yeah, I like that guy. So I basically, that's how I decided I was a conservative.
Politics usually starts with something that shallow.
politics wasn't talked about in my house that I remember at all. Also, I do remember. I grew up on a ranch, and we had long rifles for shooting coyotes and stuff. And the Liberals' plan for a long rifle gun registration was a big deal in the House. I remember that. And
turned out to be a good thing in the long run.
It didn't happen. The Conservatives came in and got rid of it.
Well, sort of. But yeah.
It was a long gun registration, not like a restricted rifle registration.
Okay.
Those Liberals are bad. They're trying to make us register our rifles, right? So sort of voted Conservative without really thinking about it for, a couple elections in a row. While I was in the Army, I didn't know anything about provincial politics. Didn't really affect me. You're really in a bubble, or in the green machine, as we like to say. During my time in Edmonton in the Army, Alberta went through an entire recession, and I didn't even know it happened. All I knew is, gas prices are really low. Right?
Oh, I can afford a truck. Perfect.
Yeah. Nothing to do with that. I don't know how that relates.
Well, because the Army doesn't see a recession, so your buying power remains the same while everybody else's decreases,
I guess. But yeah, because you're on salary, you get the same paycheck. It's not a huge paycheck. I think it's like $72,000 a year. But yeah, so you don't see any of that. Like it's so funny thinking back. Before 2015, before that oil recession.
Yep.
Had no idea it even happened. anyway, so I was releasing from the military in 2015. And I had an appointment at Veterans Affairs. There was talk about, because obviously it's sort of on the federal side again, about the Conservatives and Stephen Harper making big cuts to Veterans Affairs. We're having cuts to our budget as well. Every year it's like, can't do this, or we have to do this because we're getting budget cuts. And I went in, and this was September 2015, during the 2015 federal election campaign. So I went into this to my appointment with Veterans Affairs, and I asked this lady. She was like, maybe 60s. I asked her, "So, are these budget cuts as bad as everybody's saying they are?" And she said to me, and this is a quote I probably will never forget. She said to me, "I have been doing this for 30 years. I've never seen it this bad." And I left that appointment sort of thinking, "Oh, maybe I need to reevaluate." Because, it's
the Conservatives are the party of the standard freedom and supporting our troops.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why everybody votes Conservative in the Army. But it's not really true. We're just pawns. And it's not true with the Liberals either. We're all the military is just pawns to them. And oil and gas does affect my opinion. It is more of a priority to me, I think, than it is to you.
Well, it's had more of an impact on your career than it has mine.
But I also don't, I'm not in that boat that, oh, not, I'm not, like, I don't have a tinfoil hat on. I'm not in that group that say, oh, Notley wants to destroy the oil and gas industry. Oh, Trudeau wants to destroy Alberta oil and gas. I'm like, well, he spent like $20 billion on a pipeline. Pretty sure if he wanted to destroy Alberta oil and gas, he wouldn't have done that. And cost him a lot of what they call political currency.
And it gained him nothing here.
Gained him nothing.
So, like, that's ultimately the thing that I like to talk to people when they talk about Trudeau this, Trudeau that. I do bring up that pipeline. And I'm just like, he did that.
But he
knew that it was going to win him nothing here. But he knew that it was just a capital project that had to be done. So, Notley and the Notley Singh Trudeau alliance came out big, and that's provided a lot of jobs, and it will provide more as time goes on. We like to talk about electrification and all this, but the truth is that that's going to take decades. And even then, gas is always going to have a use.
Yeah, but it's not going to have a use where it can support an entire economy for the province.
I'm not so sure. I don't think you're not seeing oil or global demand change. It's in fact going up. And I think you're only going to see more of it as, because think about it this way, right? We buy a lot of oil from the Middle East. China is currently transitioning so that they can get more Russian oil. Then that's to ease their dependence on Middle Eastern oil.
They're actually changing so they can get lower their oil consumption by 30%, if I remember correctly.
We'll see. China and drifting targets. But the but what you're going to have is the African economy continue to rise. And it and all that's going to mean is that the Middle East will more than likely sell more and more to Africa. And then you're going to, you know, you're just going to see us use our own domestic supply. And that's good. Because the Americans are so volatile that there's no way they're going to have growth in the industry. They're not going to allow fracking everywhere again. And that leaves good old Canada.
I think you're describing best case scenario.
I think I'm describing most likely scenario.
Yeah, but you have to remember when there's other factors at play. Like, for example, the UK, they want to get completely off of combustion engines by like 2035, right? So it's not, and like I think California is doing that as well. And it's about
that's a regulation and you're for also, new vehicles.
And you're also have to consider global markets, you know. If the demand goes down, that means prices go down.
Every 5 years, they say in 5 years, we'll have reached peak oil. They've been saying that since I was in high school. We still haven't reached peak oil. So I no longer prognosticate on that. I'm not saying it's going to grow forever, but I'm just saying that we don't know when global oil demand will fall.
Well, if history is any indicator, the price of oil crashes like every 5 years, it seems like.
Well, we'll see. If you got that magic eight ball working, want to tell me what the lottery numbers are?
Yeah. Well, do you want to like have a recession every 5 to 10 years?
Have we not been in a recession for like 20 years?
Even if the demand for oil doesn't like drop hugely in the next 50?
See, and I would argue that as just a regular person, we have been in a recession in Canada since 2011. And in the States, they've been in a perpetual one since 2001. So.
Trump fixed that, I thought.
Every Republican president fixed it, according to the Republicans.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Biden, we'd all be rich.
Yeah, I'm so glad that he negotiated with terrorists. Okay. Well, I know we didn't want to talk about the Alberta election, but anybody who thinks about how Alberta is going to be governed needs to. There's a great quote from Maya Angelou. I forget the actress. Anyway, her saying is, "When always believe somebody the first time when they show you who they are."
No, that's wrong. You actually believe them like 3 months later.
I'm just saying that should the UCP win, we just need to look to Florida. We just need to look to how the federal Republican politics is going in Congress. And that's exactly what we're going to see here. I think we both agree that if they win, it'll be not by a large margin and that they're going to be a little too scared to put bills out. So I'm not sure. This is something I wish we had Justin on for, and we'll probably have him next week and we can talk about it. I wonder how much change can be done through regulation. Because abusing the executive cabinet is exactly how Danielle Smith is going to run.
Wasn't it you that was saying that they would pull Alberta out of CPP without a referendum?
Oh, yeah. They're not going to put that to a referendum because they know it'll fail. They'll put nothing to a referendum. Keep in mind, they won't even change. We see with how she's treating the provincial police as to how she'll govern for everything else she wants to do.
I don't think she could do that without putting it to a referendum. That'd be impossible.
No. Let me finish my point. She knows that if she put it to referendum, it would lose. She knows that if she didn't, she would permanently sewer her party. So look at what she's doing as far as the provincial police force is. She's saying, oh, the downtowns in Edmonton and Calgary and rural are shit. So what's she doing? Instead of increasing police budgets, she's increasing the sheriff budget because the sheriffs answer directly to her or to the provincial government, but same thing. And so that little loophole, she's going to find loopholes in everything that she wants to accomplish and just slowly keep funding those things while tracking back, pulling back on the things that she can't control. And make no mistake, if she gets elected, again, Edmonton's going to get fucking nothing for 4 years.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You're talking like she's already won. I reject that.
Hmm?
You're talking like she's already won, and I reject that.
It's still most likely that she does win. But like I said, it'll be a very compromised government.
80-20% chance.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. The fact is that the NDP can still win, and it's not even a bad shot to win. It's a legitimate shot, but it's not as good as the ACPs.
Yeah, I know. Like, everything has to fall into place for the NDP. And wouldn't it be crazy if it happened? Like,
I would love to see it, but keep in mind that the same things that we talk about, a compromised government with the UCP, it would be the same thing with the NDPs. We talk about how we talked about in earlier podcasts, Justin, where instead of having every MP or every MLA in the legislature, they'll just agree to a ratio that represents the current house so that not everybody has to be there. If you're Rachel Notley, you can't trust the opposition should they stick together.
Oh, they won't. They won't
abide by that.
Yeah, but will they stick? They won't stick together if that happens. There'll be so much turmoil trying to get rid of Daniel Smith.
But they don't have control of their own party.
I know, that's right.
You take a look, the moderates have already left. So, in essence, that party has already become what they needed to become.
Well, there's the moderates that left, and then there are moderates who can't fathom an NDP government, so they just plug their nose and stay.
Well, look at Taze. Like, how many of the Kenny officials have we seen leave that government, right? Or leave that party? So you say that, like, are they going to split? The moderates have already left.
Well, I'm talking about, like, regular people. And then, well, you want to talk about moderates to stay? Look at Rajan Sawhney. Like, holy fuck, she was supposed to be, you know,
a woman of principle.
Yeah, with integrity and morals. You know, was not going to vote for the Sovereignty Act, and now look at her, just fully eating the Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid. It's crazy. I really liked her.
Yeah. Well, you know, she showed us who she is. So just believe it next time that it comes up.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
And that's sort of the thing I'm doing. I'm taking names.
Yeah. What I'd like to see if the NDP win is them doing some gerrymandering on those overrepresented ridings, rural ridings.
Oh, then, yeah.
That needs to be done.
Like, there are rules to that, though. It's only so often that they can alter the districts.
I don't know about the rules, but
I'll have to talk to Justin about that. Because, yeah, the same people who would be like, oh, see, the conservatives won the popular vote, and this is corruption that they're not the government. They'll turn around and turn a blind eye to when the NDP likely win the popular vote and have not a great chance of being government. So I can't wait for that, for them to twist their neck on that one.
Yeah, it's all going to come down to, I mean, I'm just regurgitating what everybody else has been saying, but it's going to come down to get out the vote, right?
And we broke the record. It was high 700,000s for advanced polling. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get numbers that break down advanced polling, who voted for who in advanced polling versus regular polling.
I think they do. They are able to do that after everything's said and done, right?
I don't know. That's a question for Justin. Justin! We've said that now five times.
We don't need that socialist anymore.
No. We're back to our roots.
Yeah. Yes, this is no longer a leftist socialist podcast.
Right.
Yeah. He just talks
as we denigrate the Freedom Party in front of everyone's eyes.
Is there a Freedom Party?
Isn't that the UCP?
Are they a Freedom Party?
Well, people like to think they are. They're a donor party.
They're a we'll do and say whatever you want to win party.
You could argue all parties are that.
Yeah, but they sort of take the cake.
So like anyway, shall we go on to final predictions?
No, we're not doing any predictions.
No?
Well, it's bad luck.
Okay.
For one thing. We can just move on to movies with Andrew.
All right. So, what did we see on Thursday?
Guardians of the Galaxy. No, on Thursday? Oh, what did we? Yeah. Oh, Fast X.
Right. Fast so, we need X. to have a special episode. This is only one that we've had a few times, and that is elevators in movies with Andrew.
Did you like that elevator? I was wondering. I knew you were going to have thoughts on that one. That was... it was one, it was like in an old elevator, wasn't it?
No, it was relatively modern.
Oh.
Yep. And in it, the safeties didn't grab and heated up and broke.
Yeah. And it's probably because it was an old, like, rustic elevator. It looked super realistic to me.
So anyway, just to put everybody at ease, if you have seen Fast X, that is not possible. The safeties are designed in a wedge. And thanks to gravity and physics, they will always clamp on. They will not simply rattle loose and come flying out to where you can cushion yourself with the body of another and live. Believe it or not, you can only jump up, according to the Mythbusters, at 3 to 4 miles per hour. The elevator is falling at many hundreds of miles per hour, if it's free falling, which in this country is impossible, just to let people know. Safety systems are tested. So if you can only jump up at 3 miles per hour and say the elevator is falling at 300 miles per hour, Steve, what speed are you falling at if you jump?
I don't know.
297 miles per hour. Okay. Your jump only cancels out 3 miles per hour.
Yes, but if I jump at just the right time,
momentum is still 300 miles per hour.
But
Steve,
what if my feet are in the air as it crashes to the bottom, and then so it crashes to the bottom stops, and then I fall down
perfect. You get pancaked 1% less. Congratulations.
Sounds realistic to me. What did you think of the movie?
It was terrible.
I would go so far as terrible.
It was not even slightly amusing as
the worst one. I thought it was the worst one of the series for a while. But some of the YouTube reviewers that, with one exception, John Campia, they all seemed to think it was the best one since Fast Five. And I didn't really understand that.
No, it felt like a whole bunch of short films put together into one, where it was like, oh, this is 10 minutes where we introduce this character, 10 minutes where we introduce this character, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, and they're bringing back like all these characters and not enough of them are dying.
And who played Mr. Nobody's daughter there?
Brie Larson.
Yeah. So Captain Marvel, Brie Larson.
I like Brie Larson for
yes,
the record.
But awful in this movie, just awful. I did not like any of her scenes.
I feel like Vin Diesel is sometimes aware of the parody that's made of him, but this time it felt like he wasn't aware.
I think they calmed down. They were like less, they took everything less serious on this one, where they tried to be like super serious but family and others.
But Vin Diesel saying family and, you know, the, him also, like when he carries Brie Larson, who just the last 5 minutes was this badass,
God.
And she gets shot in the shoulder,
and he
carries her like you're carrying a bride to the honeymoon suite,
and they did it in slow mo too.
Yeah,
that was
one of the egregious parts, there was a lot of badness.
I just thought it was kind of slow. It got really clunky is the word in the middle, where I was just waiting like, yeah, get me to the next big like Fast and Furious action scene. And I just watched Fast 9 2 days before, maybe even the day before we went to go see it, And I like Fast 9 just fine. I mean, we went to go see it in the theater, and I know you're not the biggest fan of the series than I am, but I liked it just fine the second time I watched it. But this movie, I don't think I'd want to watch it again. But I do say the villain, Jason Momoa, he was awesome. He was the best part of the movie. He was awesome. I loved it.
There were just so many easy things that it should have been. Like when, I don't want to give away spoilers, so I'm canceling what I'm saying. But like, yeah, Jason Momoa could, he's okay, but he's just like every other bad guy they've had.
What?
You know,
like the most original bad guy.
Fast and Furious is like following the Dragon Ball Z model, where it's just, oh, look at this big badass, and then they redeem them into a hero and welcome him into the family.
Definitely not. Yes, they have done that.
They've done that with literally every villain.
So they did that with The Rock. They did that with Jason Statham.
And his brother.
No, we never saw his brother again.
No.
Luke Evans, right?
They had the one scene where the two of them helped save Dom's son. Did they? Yes.
Oh, where was that?
In the plane. Where they broke onto the plane while Dom was there, and they ended up making it so that he could save his son. And it was the two of them.
With Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And in this movie?
No, in the last one.
Was he there?
Or was it the... No, it was the one before that.
Okay. I remember that one now. I don't remember. Luke Evans was there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they do that, don't they?
Yeah, it's literally like every villain they've had besides the one that they killed, which then gives motivation for Jason Momoa to kill them all.
Okay. And now they're doing it with Charlize Theron, too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yes, you are absolutely right. One last point. So this is a part one of two, right? The ending was basically like they had a 300-page script. They had Vin Diesel there, and they like start flipping through pages, and they like got Vin Diesel to put his finger on a page, and then that's like where they stopped the movie.
It ended very abruptly.
Yeah.
But we'll see where the next one goes. Yeah. I'm not really looking forward to it, to tell you the truth. I'll go, but it's going to be a begrudging.
Yeah, you complain about everything. You complain about the seats in the theater. You complain about this.
Tell me, what did you say at the movie yesterday?
I said the seats are pretty nice.
Yeah, you know, you said that they are better. What were your exact words?
Yeah, so they are. Obviously, they are better than at Cineplex, okay?
So then what did we see on Saturday there?
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So my opinion is it's the best Marvel movie in the cinematic universe.
Steve only says that because it's James Gunn.
No, I do not say that because it's James Gunn.
Yes.
I say...
Slurp, slurp.
No. I teared up like 5 times the other night.
It was a good movie. I don't discount it. It was certainly better than Quantumania.
I watched Quantumania. And
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it either, but I had to laugh at the taking helmet off gag.
Yes.
They take, like, I don't know. So let's say Andrew and I, we're in an action scene. I punch Andrew. He pushes the button to take his helmet off. Just instantly. Anything that happens in that movie, they take their helmets off. Oh, I trip on the ground. Helmet pops off.
Look, not everyone can be Pedro Pascal, like, okay?
Do they really need the actors' faces on screen that badly?
Well, there's a reason they call it the moneymaker.
Yeah, but they don't really even have a moneymaker actor in there.
Excuse you, Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Okay, he's not like, he's not Tom Cruise.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Not Charlize Theron.
Anyway. I agree that it was a very good movie. I think I would still prefer Guardians 1, but it's always hard to beat the first.
The soundtrack of Guardians 1 is the best soundtrack.
Yeah, this one felt a little disjointed. No, the movie was very good. I'm glad it's not the end. You sort of put the toys back in the toy box.
Also, I want to say is I think the mid-credit scene is one of my favorite mid-credit scenes. I think the mid-credit scene made me tear up a little bit.
That was the one where the new team gets together, right? Yeah. Okay.
I think that's one of the best new credit or mid-credit scenes.
What did you think of Gamora in this one?
Take it or leave it.
I thought it was good, and I'm glad they didn't just go with...
Oh, that she gets back together with the team.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely agree. That was one of the best things about her story arc, because I thought that's what they were going to do. Like, when they're at the end there, when they're all doing, like...
I guess we're throwing spoilers away.
It's been out for, like, a month.
2 weeks.
No. Oh, no. Way more than 2 weeks. 3 weeks minimum.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Well, that's not, like... All right. Group of characters doing a group hug, whatever, right? I thought she was going to come in, right? Come in for the group hug.
I thought.
And she walked away. And I thought, I was like, that, all right, ballsy move.
I thought the whole thing honored the legacy of, like, the old Gamora, where she sort of, at the end, saw in Peter what she would like, you know, like, as the lovable doofus. And she kind of accepted them and why. And why she was so important to them. So, you know, like, I felt like the franchise itself honored the previous Gamora and not just doing the cheap, easy out. And it makes the character more interesting going forward, frankly.
It could be the end of the franchise, not end of the characters. What do you think of that take?
No, Guardians is too recognizable now. So do we want to talk about the movie... Or the words I never thought I'd say.
What was that?
I'm excited to see the Barbie movie.
I just watched that new trailer. I was actually more excited before I watched the trailer.
I'm very excited about the trailer.
I thought they gave away too much of the plot. I wish they had not done that.
No.
I wish I had not watched that trailer. I just watched it like a few hours ago.
It looks good.
It does look good, but I just wish I didn't know what was... gonna happen.
Yeah.
Watched a couple episodes of Citadel last night. Are you caught up? Or are you watching it?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
Why not?
I was on call last week, so.
So all you do is stay up and watch TV.
I wish.
That's probably what he does. Except he just watches cartoons.
And watch and get people out of elevators.
Supposedly. Citadel. They're actually doing a whole Citadel universe, Spyverse. They teased it on the last episode.
Oh,
hooray. They're calling it the Citadel Spyverse on Amazon Prime or Prime Video.
Hooray!
You only like fucking cartoons. I don't get it.
I like lots of things. Yeah. I didn't like the Lord of the Rings. Amazon's Lord of the Rings.
Did you even watch it?
I did not finish it because I felt it was so awful.
Yeah, you're one of
those. And I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I know. Fucking quitters.
And I won't be watching.
Exactly what I wanted.
No, I just want more Peter Jackson.
I want more Peter Jackson.
Yep, and that's what I'm getting with the MGM purchase. So,
what purchase of what?
They bought the everything that Amazon didn't buy.
So Silmarillion and stuff.
All of it, yeah.
Nice. I never read the appendices and stuff like that, so I don't really. I've only read Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. That's it. I don't really know anything else.
Yeah.
So, all right. I guess we can wrap it up. Any other TV movies I can think of? Ted Lasso. Last episode is coming out next week. What's the end?
Succession so today?
Never. I need to watch Succession because I hear it's very good.
Yeah, my sister's obsessed with it.
Did you watch the new Ted Lasso?
No, I haven't yet. It's the first thing that's on my list.
Oh, I know. It's very.
I wanted to wait till it's done because I know that I'll just consume it all.
You haven't even done the season three at all?
No.
What? Oh my god, you're such a loser.
I'm just waiting until it's over, and then I'm going to consume it all.
Just watch. Oh my god. There you go. I can't believe you. Anyway, I really love how... So I said to Christina, I said, if this is the last season, they better be doing like hour-long episodes.
And they are. They're doing, like, the last episode is an hour and 10 minutes. I'm like, yes, loving it. Because, you know, the first season was like 30 minutes. Second season was like 45 minute episodes. And now this one, like, all of them are around an hour. So I'm like, yes, just give me as much Ted Lasso as I can. There's been one episode in this season that I haven't. I was like, could take or leave it. But last episode, so good. Character development, great. Still, yeah, can't wait for the next episode, and I'm sad that it's ending.
Don't be sad that it's ending. Just be happy that it happened.
Oh, shut up. All right.
So, you can find us on Twitter, at RealCanadianPod. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
Apparently Podbean. We're not on Spotify. I can't figure out why.
Oh, well, maybe our tech support department will work on that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Make sure to tweet Steve all your Take Back Alberta takes. He especially loves being brigaded. And yeah, sorry for wasting your time, everyone.